Give me a moment while I get sorted. Very important. Not for a quick getaway, if that's what you're thinking. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the amazing gift of your Holy Spirit, your presence, not just with us, but in us, dwelling inside of each one of us. Lord, we thank you for that gift. And we pray now as we look at your word together, this well-known passage about the coming of the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray that your Spirit will speak to us words that we need to hear, that will encourage us, challenge us, and inspire us to be your people, the people that you intend us to be, for your glory. Amen. Well, as we've already mentioned several times, today is Pentecost, a special day in the church calendar, a holy day. And you know, Pentecost has been a special day, a celebration for many years, not just since the day shortly after the resurrection and ascension of Christ, when the church was born. Before ever the church existed, the people of God used to celebrate Pentecost to give thanks for the harvest of grain. For the church too, Pentecost is a celebration of harvest, the harvest that is brought by the Holy Spirit. By and large, in Britain, the church has stopped anticipating harvest. It's got used to a state of decline. As individual Christians, we may be well aware that we have a commission to preach the gospel, and yet we seem to be stuck in the doldrums. I am encouraged by those whom I meet who still have a desire to see others come to faith in Christ, to see people baptized, to see them grow into mature members of Christ's family. I'm glad that some are praying to see a significant harvest soon. But I suspect that even those who are praying faithfully along those lines believe that it will be far from easy. How can such prayers be turned into reality? Well, imagine for a moment how Jesus' disciples must have felt as they waited in Jerusalem. Statistics would have told them that they had a problem too. At that time, the number of believers was close to zero. As yet, there was no church. They'd received a commission to preach, and yet for a period they were becalmed, inactive, simply waiting for God to do whatever he was going to do next. They had been given a task to take Christ to the nations. That was going to pose huge difficulties. Just imagine how long it would take for these simple Galileans to learn all the necessary languages. And yet, God, through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, achieved so much in one day. At Pentecost, representatives from many nations across the known world of the time heard the disciples declaring the wonders of God in their own tongue. On this one day, incredible things were achieved. The kingdom of God was advanced through the filling of individuals with the Holy Spirit. Well, you may be wondering why I put my coat on the platform when I came up here. It's a nice coat, fair enough, very good at keeping out the cold and the rain. But I bought it to the platform this morning to show you what it can do. Okay, let's give this a go. Coat, get off that stand. Nothing. Coat, raise an arm. This is a bit disappointing. You know, this coat is pretty useless. But I do know a way of getting it to do something, and I'm sure you do too. Put it on. By itself, this coat can do nothing. It needs to be filled with a person. We too are useless unless we are filled with the person of the Holy Spirit of God. Yes, of course we can do some things by ourselves, but we can't do anything for God or for His kingdom unless we are filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to take the coat off now because otherwise I shall get too hot before the end. Excuse me. I'll leave him there as a reminder. Yeah, we know the story of Pentecost well. But it's supposed to be so much more than an interesting story about the history of the church. On the day of Pentecost, when the disciples were all together in one place, suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. The Holy Spirit arrived in the most dramatic fashion. The wind filled the whole house. It symbolized God's presence among them in a more personal and powerful way than they had ever experienced before. Everyone was included. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. That was a very significant moment because it revealed that the divine presence of the Lord was not simply resting on the people of God, Israel as a whole, but rather on each believer individually. And if that wasn't dramatic enough, the disciples began speaking, presumably shouting in order to be heard, in many different languages that they hadn't even heard before. Those who experienced this must have been disquieted. We're told in the text that there was indeed a variety of responses to these amazing events. There was sheer amazement, wonderment at what was going on, things never before experienced. Then there were those who were perplexed, confused, who couldn't explain it, even less control it. And finally, there were the inevitable mockers, those who declared that it was all a result of drunken excesses. This was unequivocally the work of God, the Holy Spirit. It birthed the church and brought about the changing of the world. Yet not all who were there, who witnessed it, recognized it or received it. The Holy Spirit was about His work. He enabled the disciples to declare the wonders of God in a way that crowds from every corner of the world could understand. This was the beginning of the fulfillment of Jesus' own words. He had told the disciples that the infilling of the Holy Spirit would give them power to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It was, without doubt, a dramatic day. But is the coming of the Holy Spirit all about weird and wonderful happenings? No. The coming of the Holy Spirit had an even more dramatic effect in the days that followed. And I want to lead you to consider those things this morning. Perhaps the first and most obvious effect of the coming of the Holy Spirit was that he changed the disciples. If you've got your Bibles open and look down at verse 23 of this chapter, someone is telling the agitated crowd, this man, Jesus, was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. Who was it who was making this incredibly bold, not to say accusatory, speech? The same individual who a few weeks earlier had denied to a slave girl that he even knew Jesus, just in case he ended up nailed to a cross too. It was Peter. You can refer to the story of him denying Jesus in Luke 22 and other Gospels. By himself, Peter didn't have the power to witness to Christ before a servant girl of the high priest. However, after Pentecost, after the coming of the Holy Spirit, Peter was a changed man. He not only proclaimed Christ before the crowd and the likes of the high priest's maid, he even proclaimed Christ to the high priest himself. Event recorded in Acts chapter 4. The disciples as a whole were poor, common, ordinary men. They often argued with each other, were easily offended, impulsive and prejudiced. Not the kind of men you'd expect to turn the world upside down. But when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they were filled with a power like never before. Suddenly, Peter is standing before thousands, fearlessly preaching. They'd spent 3 years living with Christ. They had witnessed his death and resurrection. But it took the power of the Holy Spirit to transform them into world changers. And this was more than just words. Listen to Acts 2 and verse 43. Many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. In the next chapter, we read of one specific example of an act of the Holy Spirit done through the disciples. Acts 3 and verse 2 and following says this, "Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, 'Look at us.' So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, 'Silver or gold I do not have. But what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk.' Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk." The Holy Spirit not only gave the disciples a courage that they lacked before, he not only empowered them to preach, he also enabled signs of the kingdom of God to occur within the Church of Christ. The Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost changed the lives of the disciples. He empowered them to do the work of Christ. And the Spirit produced another startling effect: growth. Acts 2 and verse 47 reads, "The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." The church started growing after the disciples were filled with the Spirit. If the power of the Holy Spirit had not fallen at Pentecost, the Christian faith would have remained at best a little sect of Judaism, which few today would even have heard of. If you are a follower of Christ this morning, it is because of the effective and faithful witness of the early church, which was only possible through the mighty power of God's Holy Spirit. A couple of years ago, I enjoyed a lovely holiday in Wales. It was in a part of that nation which had experienced revival, a tremendous move of the Holy Spirit just over 100 years ago now. On a cycle ride, I passed a small country church. As I approached it from a distance, I could make out the typical outline of a church with a steeple reaching up to heaven. And as I got closer, I could see the sad sight that it was all boarded up, no longer used as a place of worship. And as I cycled past, I wondered what had happened to mean there was no longer an active body of believers there. I did consider that one possibility was that they had grown so much that they needed a bigger building. The more likely explanation is that the congregation had dwindled until it was no longer viable to carry on. Perhaps it was because they forgot the Holy Spirit. Perhaps they forgot how to love and welcome others. Maybe they stopped ministering to people other than themselves. Maybe they forgot how to serve in the power of the Holy Spirit. The coming of the Holy Spirit changed individuals, brought miracles and growth, and had other effects too. One of them is unity. Acts 2 and verse 44 reads, "All the believers were together and had everything in common." The believers were all together. Yes, they were in one place, but that phrase carries the meaning that they were also of one mind. The Holy Spirit had brought together a motley crew of fishermen, a tax collector, carpenters, a former political radical, and others, including women in a male-dominated society, and made them one. The Holy Spirit brought them together to change the world and to light a fire that has been burning for nearly 2,000 years now. We may have lost sight of it, but though we are a motley crew, we have one common objective, that given to us by Jesus, to go into all the world and make disciples. The Holy Spirit unites the people of God with a common purpose. He equips and prepares us for that purpose. We need the Holy Spirit because we need to be changed. We need to continue the amazing work of Jesus. We need growth. We need unity. We can't achieve these things without the Holy Spirit. With the Spirit, we will receive God's power to be His witnesses in our neighbourhoods and throughout the whole world. We need to be filled with the Spirit. Without the Spirit, we can do nothing. With Him, we can turn the world upside down and shine God's light into its dark places. When we are filled with the Spirit, we can be Christ in our world. Some parts of the church reject the Holy Spirit today, or certainly some of His work among us, by saying that we're living in a different dispensation and that the age of miracles is over. These things were for a specific time and place to authenticate the message of the apostles, but we no longer need them today. Now, when I get prayer chain messages, when I look at the news, I come to a different conclusion. We desperately need miracles. We stand in great need of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is still as powerful. He still gives the gift of the Holy Spirit. He gives the Holy Spirit not to give us an amazing experience, but in order that people's lives might be transformed, that broken people might be healed physically, emotionally, relationally, socially, and spiritually. He gives the Holy Spirit in order that his people might live in unity, in genuine love for one another. Sometimes the coming of the Holy Spirit may cause a little perplexity. Perhaps that's inevitable, because God does things his way, not our way. After all, God planned Pentecost, but the disciples didn't. You know, the disciples didn't wake up on the day of Pentecost and say, I feel like speaking in tongues today. They had no framework of understanding for what was about to happen. It was a new experience for them. They hadn't made an appointment to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter hadn't prepared a sermon. And they certainly hadn't planned a baptismal service. You can't plan your own Pentecost. But you can do what the disciples did, excuse me, in preparation. They had spent days praying and seeking God. If you do likewise, God will answer. The Holy Spirit will come in his way. Don't let the fact that you can't plan it put you off. When we are Spirit-filled, God will achieve his purposes through us. He will bring about a glorious harvest. And we will find that it brings excitement, peace, and joy to us. Let's just take a moment to be quiet, to reflect on what God has been saying this morning. And if God has been prompting you, then just seek him. Seek more of God. Ask him to come and fill you now, to equip you and encourage you and inspire you to do his work. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. That you are still as loving, still as powerful. And Lord, we recognize that you have given us a commission, one that we cannot possibly come close to fulfilling by ourselves. We need you. We need your heart. We need your love. We need your power. Lord, we pray that you would renew us and send your Holy Spirit afresh. Fill us and enable us to be your people for today's challenges, where you have called us to be your servants today. Amen.